information about this podcast, please visit our website at iccbali.com.
We started last week on a small series on having the Word of God come alive in your life. How to have the Word of God come alive in your life. And, you know, I said last week that, you know, the Bible is not like a magic book. It's not like, you know, the Bible, actually, if you have one, now we all have iPads and stuff, but, you know, the book itself, the words, it's not like the ink is magic or the paper is magic. I remember being with someone one time and I put my Bible on the ground, and he walked over and he grabbed it and he kissed it and he put it up. He said, "We would never put it on the ground." And you know, that's not a bad thought, but really the book itself is not holy in that sense. And just because you read the Word and study the Word doesn't mean you're going to know Jesus. If that was true, then the Pharisees would have known Jesus more than anyone, because they studied it more than anyone. So just reading it will not make it come alive in you. And last week I talked a little bit about that. And the first thing was that, you know, you got to let the Holy, it's all really about the Holy Spirit. You know how Jesus told parables. And when Jesus told parables, it says some people had no idea what he was saying. They made no sense. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not opening up their eyes. It's really all about the Holy Spirit. So when you read, as we talked about last week, before you read, how many did that? I remember I asked people to do that. How many sat down before they read and said, "Holy Spirit, cover and hover over me while I read so I might understand"? Anybody try that? I did that. Okay, thanks. I love you, ICC. Thanks for, you know, joining with me. I appreciate that. And so you need the Holy Spirit. It's really all about the Holy Spirit. And then you need God to speak. You really need God to speak, like as I said in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke, and when he spoke, it came to being. And so there are times where as you're sitting there, you need to read and ask the Holy Spirit and say, "God, speak to me." Last week I talked about how,
I read the Bible every day. That's great. I read three chapters a day. I read one chapter of the Old Testament. I read a psalm. I read a proverb. And I read the New Testament. That's four. I read four chapters a day. And then I said, "And did you read this morning?" "Yes." "What did you read?" "I read four chapters a day."
We have this feeling that we sit kind of passively by and we read the Word, or we sit passively by while someone prays for us, and all of a sudden something changes. But I don't believe that's the way God wants us to, that it works, and I don't believe that's the way God wants us to be. I've often heard people say, you know, "I need to be selfless." Now, I understand what they're saying, but Jesus was not selfless when he died on the cross. Jesus put his whole self on the cross. See, he went fully onto the cross. Everything in him, he gave everything he had. He gave all of himself for the work. And that's the same way that I'm talking about when it comes to having the Bible, or come to having the Word of God come alive in your life. You need to give your whole self. He's saying, "Do you want to dance with me?" And you have to say, "Yes, I am willing to dance fully with you. I will engage fully in this situation. I will engage fully into reading, understanding, memorizing, doing whatever it takes. I will give my full self to this process." And as you do, you will begin to see that God moves. Now, we're going to talk about that process. The first thing is, it says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We've been talking about that. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. So you need faith, and the way you gain faith is hearing the Word of God. Some of you can tell me all the names of the United team, you know, the Manchester United. You can tell me all their names. Some of you can tell me all the scores from last night. Some of you can tell me all the scores from last year. You can tell me who won last year. You can tell me all this stuff about the team that you have engaged with. But are you listening to the Word of God? Are you engaged? Can you tell me, how many, can you tell me anything about the book of Acts? Can you tell me verses out of the book of Acts? Can you tell me, what Jesus did when he was in Gethsemane or something like that? Are you engaged in the situation? Are you dancing with the Lord when it comes to hearing the word of God? Are you listening to what he's saying? That's the first step in the process. It's interesting. I'm sorry. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Meditate on his word day and night. Day and night. Meditate on his word day and night. It says, if you do that, you'll be like a tree that'll prosper and be successful. Are you doing that? And it's interesting, we laugh sometimes at the way the Old Testament, the way the guys did it, because they would take a little box, and the box had the Word of God in there, and they'd stick it on their head, and they'd tie it. And then they'd tie the Word of God around their arm, and they'd walk around with the Word of God. And then they would put the Word of God on the doorposts of the houses. Basically, they would put the Word of God everywhere. Now, I'm not telling you to walk around with the Bible on your head. I would rather have you walk around with the Bible in your head. But that's what it's saying. It's saying, tie it to yourselves. Bring it into your life. Bring it into every situation. I remember when I was working in the tech field in computers, I used to, at my desk, every day, I would put a scripture verse on my desk. I'd put a little notepad, and I'd write a scripture. I mean, it got thick, but I would leave one up every week. I'd leave one up every week, and so while I was working, I'd just look over, and I'd look at that scripture. I remember one day I came into my office. The guy who was in my office working with me, he was in my office, and he was standing over my desk, and he was going like this, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I don't understand that scripture verse. He's been reading them all along. He had been reading them. Every time I put them up, he's been reading them. And actually, eventually, he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Because, I was able to explain the scripture that he was reading. I was like, oh, let me tell you the story. And, for the next 15 minutes, we wasted work time. And, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to waste work time if you're talking about Jesus. Unless your boss says otherwise, and then you have to do something else. But, and then Jesus says this very interesting verse here in John 14. He says, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that's the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have taught you. Now, it's interesting he says that. Remind you. So the Holy Spirit is a reminder of what you've been taught. But if you don't have any scripture in your head or in your heart, how is the Holy Spirit going to remind you of something you don't know? It's like I go into your house looking to give you something, but you have nothing in your house for me to give you. See, he reminds you. And so what happens sometimes is when you're reading the word and you're putting it in your brain, it's like school. When you go to school, I've heard this all the time. I'm never going to use that in my life. I don't know why I'm learning this. A plus B equals C, and if C equals B and A equals C, then B equals C, and I'm never going to learn it. Actually, you are learning something. You are. You just don't know what it is. And as you're reading the Word of God, it's the same way. You're reading a scripture. What in the world does that mean? Why am I reading that? What does that have to do? Stick it in your brain. The Holy Spirit will bring it up when he needs it. He will remind you and show you how to use that scripture. But you have to get it in your brain first. So in order for the Holy Spirit to do his work, you have to do your work. You have to dance with the Lord. The Lord is ready to remind you, but you got to get up and begin to do your part to make it happen. And then this verse, and we're having all kinds of trouble today. I love you. But in James chapter 1, it basically says, and I want to get the full verse so I can read it easier. Sorry, it's getting clipped off. We're having fun today. We got fires. We had all kinds of. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Whoever looks intently on the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, we're all talking about blessings. We like blessings. How many like blessings? I like blessings. How many want like only two blessings versus 100 blessings? I want 100. How many want only 2 rupiah versus, 200 million rupiah? Right? I want 200 million rupiah. I don't want 2 rupiah. I want 200 million. Of course. How many want many blessings from God versus a few blessings from God? See, and so it says here, it says, if you, continue in them, you'll be blessed. But it says, humbly accept the word of God planted in you. Now, that's really interesting, I find, because basically, you can have the word in you, but you still haven't accepted it. It's kind of an interesting thought. And here it says, if you humbly accept it, you will be saved. The word of God will save you from all kinds of problems. The word of God will save you from all kinds of problems. I don't know, personally, that's what happened to me. I had a lot of problems. I was a mess. Remember when I had a dream one time, this is when I first became to Jesus and started following him, I had a dream of this field. And in the field, there were all these like idols, statues, and there was like all kinds of like wheat, but it had dried up. It was all just really ugly looking field. It was a terrible field. And I was like, that's me. That's my life. I realized in my dream, I was looking at my life. And I was like, this is not good. And the Lord said, that's okay. Just give it time. Keep planting. Keep going. Keep letting the word of God come in your life. Keep letting it land on good soil. Keep going. And eventually, your field will change and it will become a field of righteousness, where people will come into your field and they will eat from your field. Do people come to you and feed off of you? Can they feed off of you? You know, what happens if I come to you and I got problems and you got, ngada? You got nothing to give because you got nothing. You haven't planted anything and you haven't accepted it. You haven't let it grow. You haven't let it move. How can they eat from you? And so, the first thing, obviously, we talked about is hearing the word of God. But the second thing is the right soil. That's what it's talking about when it says humbly accept the word. You have to have the right soil. Now, if you know the parable about the sower and the seed, it says the farmer went out with seed, and some fell among the hard ground, some fell among the weeds, some fell among the rocks, and then some fell among the good soil. Now, when you look at that parable, what you'll see is the farmer is exactly the same. Nothing changes. The seed is exactly the same. Nothing changes. The weather is exactly the same. Nothing changes. The sunshine, the situations, the circumstances, all of those are exactly the same. There's only one thing different, and that is the soil. And that soil, we can determine what kind of soil the Word of God lands on. See, we are the soil. And if we have a humble position, if we take a humble position, that's when our soil becomes good. What does it mean by humble position? Well, what that means to me is that, like, I don't know, you know. I don't know what to do, but your word will tell me. Oftentimes, my good friend Pastor John is here, and he probably will give me a hearty amen when I get done with the story. But oftentimes, someone will come into our office or someone will meet with somebody and they got a problem. And I've been following Jesus for, I have problems, but I've been following Jesus for almost 30 years now, probably more than 30 years. Yeah, I'm getting old. I've been following, and they'll come to me with a problem. I'll say, I've solved that problem. The word of God has actually helped me. God has helped me through that problem. I know how to solve that problem. So the person has the problem. I don't have the problem. And so we sit down, we talk. And I said, this week, why don't you try this? Instead of what you're doing, try this. And then the week goes by and they come back. They want to talk to you again. And they sit down and I sit down. The first thing I say is, so how was it? How did you do? Did you try what I said? Well, no, I didn't try what you did. Blah, blah, blah. It got to a point. It sometimes gets to a point in my life that I actually want to simply do two things. One, I want to write a contract out with a person who's coming to me with a problem. And I want to say, you have the problem. I know the answer. Do what I said or don't come back. No, it's true. It's kind of foolish. If I'm having a money problem and I have someone who's good with money, they know how to handle the money. I don't know how to handle the money. I learn from them. I don't know. They know. That's humility. That really is. That's humility. But we do oftentimes nullify the word of God. We do it kind of three different ways. When we read, the first thing we do is we read it, well, he didn't really mean that. Like, God forgives you of every one of your sins. Can I get an amen? I mean, he forgives you of your past, your present, and your future sins. Can I get an amen? Do you have to worry about sin anymore? Nope. So you read, God forgives me of all my sins. Yeah, but he doesn't really know the ones I've done, man. The ones I've done, man, are really bad. You know, he's not going to forgive me. And, you know, all right, he can forgive me, but, you know, I can't forgive me. If God can forgive you, you can forgive you, you know. So we have this thing we read, and it's that God didn't really mean that. Or God says this, you know, the word says this. Now, let me give you a tough one. The word says, if you to follow me, you must give up your life. Well, he didn't really mean that. Not really. I mean, some of my life, yeah, okay, I can understand that, you know. Sunday mornings, of course. But, you know, he didn't really mean give up everything. Yeah, that's exactly what he meant. But see, we nullify, the word gets planted in it, we read it, but we don't receive it because we say, well, he didn't really mean it. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I would say to you, and I'm going to give you this, I'll give you a challenge, that if you would just receive what he says, your life would change amazingly and the word of God would come alive in your life. That's why when you meet someone who has completely changed in the area you haven't, they're like, it's unbelievable, man. You've got to follow that crazy verse. It's awesome. I can't believe it. It's true. And you're like, no way. Because they've crossed over. And that plant, that seed that was planted has now become fruit. And they're tasting of that fruit and they like it. And I can tell you, it's happened in my life. The second thing we do is, you know, I know what it says, but my circumstances are not the same, you know. I hear the word but. Every time you say but, it just nullifies everything you just read and everything the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you. Stop saying but. The only but you should use, besides the one that you're sitting on, just popped in my head. The only but you should say is this. This is my circumstance, but God. Then you erase all your circumstances. That's the way to use but. If you want to use but correctly, use but God. But God said this. I know my situation, but God said this. I know what's happening in my life, but God said this. That's the way to use but. And then the third one is, of course, it was different back then. I mean, come on. It was different back then. That's the, you know, that's the past. That was like old-fashioned thinking. We're progressive now, and we've learned something. And so, you know, the Bible was in the past. It's the, you know, every time you do those three, you nullify the word. It becomes ineffective in your life. And you know what's sad is if you have a problem, it gives you the solution. If you will humbly receive it and accept it and let it grow in it, in your life, you will actually see a change in your life. I'm living proof of that. I'm living proof of that. My wife took a huge chance when she married me, and somehow, you know, well, ask her. I think it paid off. But, you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is I've completely changed. My parents taught me things, and they were ingrained in my life, and I knew they were not of God. And I took the word of God, and I planted it in my life, and I refused to listen to the voice of my father in my head because I knew it was wrong. And I said, I will learn the word of God. I will walk in his ways, not the way my father said, because I know what my father said in that situation was wrong. And now I don't treat my wife like my parents treat each other because we wanted to change that. I'm not knocking my parents. I love my parents. We decided, and so you can do that in every part of your life. Every part of your life. Finally, you know, by the way, I want to give you one more challenge about hearing the word of God and knowing it. I gave this challenge to the first gathering. I want to give it to you. You know how you go on Facebook? You know how You know how many times you go on Facebook and you're looking at the situation, and all of a sudden I just felt that the Lord, I want to give this challenge. How many here will join with me this week? And every time, you can still go on Facebook, but every time you go to Facebook or Twitter, I'll just do that one. I don't use Twitter, but you use it. Every time you go on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, when you go on that, read a scripture verse 2. Also. So every time you go on, every time you click to Facebook, read a scripture verse, and then go to Facebook. That's getting the Word of God. That'll get the Word of God in you. How many want to join with me? I'm going to do that this week. How many want to join with me? Make your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. Yeses be yeses and noes be noes. Wait a minute. Keep your hand up. Bring the camera up here. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Do it. You'll see what happens. You'll get more reading in, won't you? The second thing I already talked about, having the right soil. And finally, Nike's got it right. Nike's got it right. Just do it. It says, if you do it, then you will be blessed. That is what's happening. That's what I'm talking about on the dance. Jesus has got his hand out, says, I want to teach you how to dance. I want to teach you how to do the samba or whatever you're going to learn. The hip-hop like those guys. I will teach you how to do it. If you would just humbly let me teach you how and fully give yourself to it, you will become a great dancer. But you have to get off your seat and you have to do it. So when you're reading and the Bible says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other, and you remember that guy at work who's been really treating you lousy and you want to get him back, Scripture says, do something differently. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. Let the Scriptures and do what the Scriptures say. Trust it. And because if you do what the Scriptures say, it says you will be blessed. And that's as simple as making the Word of God come alive in your life. These three things: hearing it, receiving it humbly, letting God teach you, and simply doing it, I guarantee it will change your life. You got struggles in your situations. We prayed it this morning, and I'm just about done. We said, let's release it up to God. Yes, release it up, but you can't just release it and not receive anything. Release the unforgiveness of that person up, and then do what the Word says, forgive them. That's your side. Release your finances, your struggle with finances, up to the Lord. And then do what the Word says. The Word says what? The Word says don't borrow money. The Word says, give your tithes and offerings. The Word says, bless others. Do those things. See, start, give it up, but start dancing. So, because I don't know about you, that's really what I want to do. I just want to dance. I want to dance with the Lord. I don't care what the world says. I want to dance. Amen. Do you want to dance? You want to, especially look at this kid, man. That kid can dance, man. I want to dance with the Lord, because let me tell you, a dance with Jesus. I had this picture in my mind while we were worshiping, and I'll just end with this story. In America, I don't know how they have it here, but in America, they'll have like a, eighth grade dance. I don't know if you've ever seen one. I've been to one. All the girls stand on one side of the room. All the boys stand on the other side of the room, and they stare at each other, and they don't know what to do because they're, afraid to be the first one out on the dance floor. I was there. I was scared, And I just want you to imagine this. Here you are in that room, and you're staring at the other side, and you see the most gorgeous one of all of them. Out of your league. Yes, I'm talking to you men. Out of your league. And that's the one that comes over and says, you want to dance with me? That's Jesus. He's like the best. He's the best one in the bunch. And he's looking at you, and he's saying, coming over to you, and he's going, you want to dance with me? We can dance a lifetime. I'll never get tired of dancing with you. I'm going to teach you and show you, and you'll become a great dancer. You'll become a great way. You'll live your life. You'll enjoy it. You'll have actual joy while you serve the Lord. And that's what it's all about. So if you want to do that this morning, as we pray, I just want you to just surrender your will. I know when the doc said, You know, the only thing, what's the only thing that can limit you and I's thought? My will is the only thing that can stop the Lord moving strongly in my life, because I have a strong will. So I want to give my will over to him. Amen?